Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. It's great to be with you. It's my pleasure to be part of your day and be able to introduce you to these really smart people who are members of our Brain Trust, including Renee Grant Williams, who's our guest this half hour. And folks, if you ever wonder if I'm capable of putting my ego in the background a little bit, if you ever wondered how brave and courageous I am, how about this? I'm a regular guest on my show is one of the country's top voice experts, Renee Grant Williams. That's who she is. And so when you got a voice like mine, and you bring somebody like Renee on the show, you got to be able to subordinate your ego a little bit. You got to be pretty courageous. Because I never know what she's going to say about me. Renee is the author of an outstanding book called Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command. And she's our good friend. Renee, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Tim. You are indeed courageous.
See what I mean, folks? Oh, me. Phyllis was just on. This is Renee. Renee, weren't you recently on QVC?
No. That's some other Renee.
Didn't you have something? What were you on television about recently?
It's been raining reality shows around me. I was on Three Wishes.
That's what it was.
Might as well be QVC because that's what most people could call QVC. the Amy Grant hosted show.
That's what it was.
A special 2-hour episode, and then I'm going to be in a segment of Extreme Makeover that will air in January or February.
Are you going to be the Makeover E?
I'm going to be part of the makeover process.
Oh, because you don't need to be having a makeover. You're perfect. I don't know why they would be making.
Well, of course.
Yeah, so you're going to help them with their voices, huh?
Yes.
I see.
And that's what I did on Three Wishes. There was a 13-year-old singer from Brookings, South Dakota, and I helped her. I worked with her for a week and helped her do a recording and get ready for some big singing opportunities. And
you know, I sent my application into that, and they told me that I didn't really need anything, so, you know, they turned me down.
Well,
they said I was perfect. that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Renee,
did I tell you that Voice Power now has been translated into Russian, Italian, and Japanese?
You did not tell me that. Congratulations.
That's brand new news.
I'm proud of you. I'm not the least bit surprised, though, Renee.
The only problem is I can't tell whether it's a good translation or not because I can't read any of those languages.
All you should care about is the picture. Is the picture right? That's the only thing you need to
worry. Well, of course.
Because the picture sells the book initially anyway, Renee.
Yes.
Renee, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is how the quality of our voice, how our voice contributes to our success on the job. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm thinking about new jobs. Do you realize that something like it was estimated before Katrina, before these hurricanes, that 45% of Americans would change jobs in 2005?
Wow.
And the economic disasters that Katrina and Rita have created resulted in hundreds of thousands more. So something like 50% of Americans changed jobs in 2005. And when you're new in the job, you only have one chance to make a first impression.
Right.
And you want it to be a good one. You need to think about your hair and your clothes and your posture and mannerisms.
And my makeup, too.
And your makeup. You especially, Jim.
Right.
And eye contact. I mean, all this stuff is important. And people don't remember that one of your most vital attributes is something you may have overlooked, which is your voice. And let's face it, you're going to be spending many of your waking hours with these people. So it's important to establish your where you fit in to the pecking order from the very beginning. Because the very day you walk into your new workplace, people are going to start making judgments about you, in part based on how you sound, based on your voice. You can command respect or you can lose it, all because of how you say what you say.
Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, you're going to tell us how to find out if we have a voice that needs work, or how we are, and if it does, what do we do about that?
I mean, okay.
Can we actually adjust? Can we alter? Can we change? Can we improve the way we sound? Some can, maybe some can't. We'll get Phyllis. Renee. I can't get Phyllis out of my mind. Renee Grant Williams. She's the one with us right now. She's the author of Voice Power, and Renee and I will be right back after the messages. It's 2012. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. That's little Richard Pennyman there, ladies and gentlemen. And of all the people that I know and all the people in our brain trust, nobody could possibly come close to knowing Richard Pennyman, little Richard, as like our friend Renee Grant Williams. Renee, I'm not sure, but I suspect you've met little Richard.
I did, but he would never remember. We sat beside each other once at a concert. And where I was involved in the creation of the concert.
Well, if you step beside him anywhere, Renee, he remembers you. I promise. next time I see him, I'll ask him about that. We're talking about how the. By the way, folks, Renee's book is called Voice Power. Now in multiple languages around the world, something under 2 million copies sold worldwide. And Renee, where's the book available, please?
Amazon.com, a lot of stores still carry it. Almost every website that carries or sells books carries it. And I also have my DVD for singers, which is contains extremely good information for the speaking voice and how to use it. It's available now at Amazon.com.
A DVD? So, well, that's a new product, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Vocal Masterclass. I created it for singers, but it's exactly the same techniques that I use for speakers and for...
How about talk show hosts?
And for talk show hosts, especially the talk show hosts.
I'm sure I'm going to be getting a copy real soon, right?
Of course.
Hey, Renee, now how about your own website?
www.myvoicecoach.com.
Myvoicecoach.com. Renee,
and we've been doing some interesting teleseminars, and I just completed a warm-up tape for The Voice, something I've been working on for, it was actually a warm-up CD, but I've been working on it for, about 7 years.
Well, I'm glad you got it finished, and folks, if you're interested in helping yourself and improving your voice, Renee can help you with that. She's helped some of the most famous people you know. I won't go into the long list, but the list is long. Renee, help us get our voice improved for this next interview that we've got, this new job that we're going to take. Can you actually, if you think your voice is not right, can we actually alter our voice?
Because when you speak, Jim, what is your overriding goal? It's to make people listen, right?
Right.
If you talk too fast or too slow or too loud or too soft, people don't listen to you and don't remember what it was you said. If you have a shrill voice, that puts others on edge and drives them away. And one of the things you should never do is whine. On the other hand, if your voice is clear and measured and strong and confident, people will listen to you and people will respect you. And
what if you have a voice, the frequency of your voice? You mentioned shrill. You know some ladies have that. They have a real high-pitched voice. It's a very thin voice, and Can they actually change their voice?
Yes, by using more of their body. They're never going to go from Lucy to, you know, Barry White.
Right.
But they can alter. And the main thing is to make a commitment to use your body. Breathe low into your body, into what is the lower abdominal area, and use abdominal support to help your voice stay steady and calm and warm.
A lot of the thin voices come right out of the just off the back of the tongue, don't they? And the deeper voices come from the diaphragm, don't they?
Right, because you want to breathe low. Wherever you put your air in your body is where you'll squeeze to push it out again. It's a very simple bellows kind of instrument. Or like a turkey baster. Something that is au courant.
Right.
So then what you want to do is press into the floor with the balls of your feet and tuck under like you're about to sit down on a chair. And that gives you a lot of support. That gets your body in the position you would use if you were going to lift something very heavy. And that's what you want to do. And
that sounds like something that takes a lot of practice, Renee.
Well, it takes a lot of concentration, but, you know, you can practice it in odd moments. And the other thing you can do is make very good use of variation and what I call inflection when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Tailor your words. You can face it. Speaking is like music hasn't been organized yet into. It's like a song when you have a conversation. It's like a duet. Always remember that your speaking voice is like music, and you can make it boring, and you can make it lilt, and you can give it different colors. You want to increase the range of your expression to include a questioning voice, to include a comforting voice, and you always want to hang on to people's interests, and you don't do that by sticking to one tone or one color.
Well, and also, don't you think it helps a little bit to be a little bit animated, especially, of course, animation comes across on the phone too, but especially in their person. Animation is being animated, moving around a little bit, you know, using gestures, that's important too. And I'm going to get you to comment on that when we come back after these messages.
All right.
When you've done everything you can do with the quality of your voice, folks, maybe you can do something with your body, even your hands. It's 10 till. Renee Grant Williams is our guest. She's the author of Voice Power. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back.
Got a black magic woman.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, small business advocate, and that's Hart, ladies and gentlemen. That's Ann Wilson with her sister Nancy on the guitar. You know those sisters, Renee?
Yes.
I like their music. Ann doesn't have the voice anymore, though, does she?
Well, I'm afraid not.
Yeah, I heard it the other day, and she was having a little trouble. And you know what I actually thought? I heard it in a recording. I've forgotten who she was playing with, but she was trying to hit those notes just now, you know, that you just heard her hit, and she wasn't getting there, and she was, you know, kind of cutting them off. And I said, you know, I know somebody who could help her with that.
I could help her with that. And
right.
Sometimes some of the gracefully aging singers don't realize that they don't have to accept a diminishment of their powers.
Or gracefully aging talk show hosts or
gracefully aging talk show hosts.
Anybody like that, yeah. Renee Grant Williams, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest and our great friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Voice Power. It's a great book that I recommend to you. Check out her website, myvoicecoach.com, is that right?
That's right, Jim.
Myvoicecoach.com, you can find her CDs and her DVDs and her books and all the other stuff there. She's in the center part of the United States, and she'll help you if you'd like to improve the quality of your voice. Renee, we were talking about getting doing a better job during interviews, making a good first impression. And we were up to the point where we've done everything we think we can do about our voice, and now maybe we can add a little dimension to our presentation, to our countenance, by maybe using a little bit of gestures. What do you think?
Gestures and animation, Jim, I think they're both terribly important. First place, it proves you're alive, and that's important. But it's like creating a ballet with your hands. I mean, you don't want to go overboard with this.
Some people talk too much with their hands, don't they?
Pardon?
Some people talk too much with their hands.
Well, some people talk too much, but others never make a gesture.
Yeah.
And that's balance, you know, is what I feel is important. The balance between meaningful gestures that help animate a conversation or meaningless gestures that are there because you don't know what else to do with those things dangling down there at the end of your wrist.
And don't gestures and animation, facial expressions, doesn't that come across to the other person that you're comfortable being there, that you're interested in being there, that you're happy to be there?
And that you're not stiff.
Yeah.
Because if you're comfortable, you're not stiff. Think about how you feel when you're in your own home or around your closest friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit straight and make no gestures and no face and head movements. I tell you, when I work with my singers, Jim, in the studio, I command them to make gestures. So look at Mariah Carey. Would she have a career if she didn't have her right arm? I mean,
she draws in the air
what she wants to hear.
I was watching a country music singer on television the other day. I won't say who. The guy's marginally talented with his voice, but he puts on a great show. He entertains you with the way he presents his music. The voice is not secondary, but it's not Johnny Mathis type of.
But it comes through that microphone as energy and flow and phrasing, and all of that is terribly important. This gesture business is especially important when you're on the telephone or leaving a voicemail message, because there you don't have any visual help. You just have your voice. And if you can make it more exciting and more meaningful, more colorful by gesturing, unless you're in the presence of someone who might think you're very weird, but I encourage people to do it all the time. And the main thing is, when we were getting back to what we were talking about with being new on the job, the main thing is you have to get a bead on what the style of the company is. Because you would just as you would dress differently for a managerial position with a blue-chip company like IBM than you would for a position with a more freewheeling and laid-back company like Apple.
Right.
You have to be sensitive. Be sensitive to your new environment and the way people communicate.
Well said, Renee. Thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Renee Grant-Williams, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.